Gen Z Plugged is a podcast brought to you by Generation Connected. Generation Connected is a youth-led organization where we provide free tutoring to students and publish works by youth. So today, my name is Zian, and Richie will be host for the day. We have our wonderful guests, and we are so excited to have you here, Aisha. And Aisha Kirkland is a junior at Mast Academy, founder of Youth for Christ, and has produced her own songs. Her latest album, Thank God I'm Not, which is so fire, was released in December 31st, 2019. Aisha, thank you for being our guest. Richie and I are actually really hyped for you to be in this podcast. So let's start with like the most basic question out there. Tell us a little bit about yourself.
Oh man. Well, first things first, I just want to say a big, big thank you to both you, Zian, and Richie for having me, guys. It is truly an honor to be here on this podcast. Now, as you said, I'm Aisha Kirkland, but people call me AK. Those are my initials. It started off as a rap name, and then it became a whole nother personality. So who am I really? I'm basically just a person raps and who preaches. That's
She's more than that.
She's more than that.
If we want to keep it in general, I'll just say I'm a previous rapper, now dedicated preacher.
Okay, all right.
Okay.
You know what? How about this? Tell us a little bit about your childhood, you know, and, you know, growing up. The places where you grew up, your family, and how did that really help shape you into the rapper you was before and to the person you are today?
Amen. All right, cool. So as you guys know, I live in the best county in all of the United States.
Of course.
305.
Exactly, and not only that, I live in the beautiful city of North Miami, and I live on the west side of North Miami. Talk about locational benefits right here. But yeah, so even though I grew up in North Miami, I have a Caribbean heritage. My mother, my mother's side, they're from Trinidad and Tobago. And you know, they grew up giving me some island vibes in my life, but not only the island vibes, I will around me really shaped who I am now. Because if you told me that I would have been a rapper, I would have been like, I don't really know about that. The rap thing for me really came along because when I was in North Miami going to the school by the name of Benjamin Franklin K-8 Center, I know this is demonstrating, you know what I'm talking about, the Tigers. I always had this in me for music. Like I play four instruments. And, you know, I started learning piano when I was about 5 years old, and I always had a heart for music, right? And then, you know, I was sitting at Benjamin Franklin one day, and my teacher put on these educational raps, and it's like my heart just went, oh, man, like my heart jumped out, like, this is it. So I was like, all right. I said, you know, I started listening to these raps and memorizing them by heart, and then I realized this is fun. But it was until one day I was at my church, and this is the coolest story ever. The first time I wrote my own rap, I was at my church. I go to this church by the name of New Alpha Worship Center. Two locations, Miami Gardens, Fort Myers. I was there one night for a youth meeting. And the assignment was to take a secular song and remix it into a gospel song. That was my first time writing my own thing.
Okay.
And that brought about the rapper part. Now the preacher part, I don't know if you guys see that picture right there.
That picture is
my grandmother. You know, my grandmother born in Trinidad. And in this very same room I'm sitting in, my grandmother was very passionate about, you know, the Bible talks about teach this to your children's children, you know, all that Deuteronomy stuff. So she was real serious about instilling the gospel in me. And then my church grew those seeds, and I don't know what happened, but 2020, God cornered me and said, I got work for you to do. So that's why.
That is so cool.
And it's very interesting. And part of it, I can relate. I remember when my grandma was alive also, she would do the same. on Sundays, man, everybody had to be up and ready for church. The week, Bible studies, she made sure, like, she had it on lockdown. So I can really see how, you know, the grandparents can really help out with this and transitioning to your parents.
Amen. Amen. Shout out to our grandparents.
Hey. I mean, my grandma also, like, took me to church every single weekend, like, back in the Philippines. But, like, I mean, now I don't really go to church. But I do understand that, like, our grandparents just, you know, like, they tend to foster, like, the religion to us. And, I mean, I remember that feeling of just going to church every Sunday and, like, hearing, like, gospel songs. I mean, my grandma was, I guess, like, a born again. And, I mean, I was, like, I really didn't understand much when I was, like, I guess, young. But definitely there's passion in there. Like,
there's. It's like it gives you something to hold on to. It gives something, like, it gives you hope, you know, especially around this time, 2020. And I was not ready for this. I
expect 2020
to be a different year, a new decade, you know what I'm saying?
2020 vision.
I know, right?
2020 vision.
And this happened. And I felt this year, along with the quarantine, I was able to dig in more into my religion, into my background, who I am, you know, my past, and able to take control of it. So in a way, it's kind of a blessing too.
I felt like 2020, like, even though quarantine has, like, you know, had us in a lockdown, I still felt like I was thinking about my entire life in, like, more ways than one. And I just keep thinking about all the things I've done, like, my mistakes, my success, and kind of question, who am I? Like, what am I in this space of time? And I think that's one of the good things from quarantine. There was a lot of, like, introspection, I guess. Well, we are glad to hear about your childhood. So I remember actually sitting in APU and Geo freshman year, the best class ever, and I was actually really fascinated about, like, your rapping career. And I can brag and say I went to school with a musician. I'm gonna brag about that when I'm older. And I do remember you, like, I do remember you rap for us, like, in person, right?
Yes, you did.
In Mr. McFarland's class. And, like, I do remember as well that one of your songs made it to, like, one of the local awards show, and you were promoting it. And I was like, yes, I'll support her. Yes. And a lot of people, including me, are very interested in your rapping career because of, like, the sheer talent and, like, your usage of words. One day we should actually rhetorically analyze your piece. And so, like, when you rap, there's, like, this passion and, like, fire that ignites within everyone. You don't really have to be, like, I guess, religious to, you know, feel the passion in your songs. So what inspired you to start rapping, and how would you describe that journey, and was it worth it?
All right. Wow, that's a big question. Wow. Yeah. Great question. Okay, so, like I mentioned earlier, I don't know, my heart was always connected to the music thing, but I am gonna say this, that if I were to pick it up from when I wrote that rap for the first time in my church, I remember that I still wasn't as passionate about the rap career yet. I was like, okay, this is fun, this is cool, this is just a hobby. But I'm gonna tell you what made me start getting serious. Mm. My drive was the fact that people told me I couldn't do it. And you guys know me, so you guys know I am
no as an answer. Sure.
No, will not be accepted as an answer. So I started rapping a lot when I was in my sixth grade year. You know, I would perform at my school from time to time, and some people would like it, and some people didn't like it, and some people told me some things. Like, I still remember being in my music class and somebody looking at me and telling me that, you know, you'll never be a real rapper. right? That's one comment. And I left that school. In seventh grade, I went to a different school, one of the best middle schools in Miami-Dade County, Horace Mann Middle School. Trojan, yeah, you know.
You're gonna diss Ben like this?
But I am gonna say this, that one day we had an assignment. The language arts teacher I had, she gave us assignments where she was like, you know, write a story, write a rap, write a poem, whatever you wanna write. And I know how to rap, you get what I'm saying? I always believe that if you have strengths, use it to your advantage. Why am I gonna write a story when I could write like six? So I just play my advantage. And I ended up sharing the rap in the class, and everybody didn't know that I did that. So they were like, whoa, they was like, what's this? And I remember after class, a really passionate young man, I still remember him to this day, he was like, you really have a gift. You really have a talent. You need to start using it. And he's like, I produce beats. I produce for you. We going to be a hit. Let's go. And I was
we
like,
love this, man.
I said, calm down, broski.
It's too much. You got too much you're hitting at the time.
Bro, I'm not into that rap stuff. I'm just into, you know, I'm the word that our generation uses, I'm vibing.
Vibing.
You know what I'm saying? You don't have to. And when you just kept persisting. And I was like, all right, let me see how far this goes. So I still remember him producing beats, me being rapping, and we were so passionate. We recorded our very first song just on GarageBand.
GarageBand.
We did the song for the first time with the built-in microphone. And I don't know why. It was me, the producer, and another young man, and we felt like this was the best thing we ever did. Oh, boy, we were on cloud nine. But can I tell you, you know how they say 0 to 100 real quick? watch this. We went from 100 to 0 real quick. The next day.
Oh, no.
The next day, you know, we had to face the critics. You know, no pun intended, we had to face the music we made. And I am going to say this, that of course now my mentality is more mature. But before then, like, let me explain it now. Not that the song had a lot of issues. The sound quality was bad. You know, we had a whole bunch of home production. I admit that now. But as the kid in seventh grade who thought this was the best thing I did in the world, I took their criticism as hate. And it killed me. It hurt me. It aggravated me. But then I was like, oh, no. I said, since so much people think I'm garbage, since so much people think I can't rap, I'm going to have this resolve in me. I am not gonna rest because I know I have a talent. And when you know you have an ability, you should not rest until you demonstrate that, until you reap the full benefits of that. So that's what I did. And you could hear that when you asked the question, what is my drive? That was my drive. And you could hear that in songs like, look at the kid. Look at the, like, come on. Tell us something. Look at the kid. Yeah. And I would say that, was it worth it? Because, you know, you ask yourself the question, you did all of this because you wanted to prove somebody wrong. Now you proved them wrong. Say it was not because I got to prove people wrong. I made it worth it for me was two things. One, because I was so driven, I unlocked talent on the inside of me that I never knew I had. Ooh. And then the second thing is rap and poetry and all that for me has not only been a fun experience, but it also has created a lot of opportunities for me. I've met a lot of people, I've made a lot of friends, and even when we look at stuff like Youth for Christ 305, a large number of people who join Youth for Christ 305 only join because they knew me as a rapper. So it's like, if I never had this rap career to pick up popularity, it wouldn't have put me in a position to know people and impact them now. So that makes it all the worth it. Not that I got the chance to flex, but it opened the door for me to do something so much better.
You know, it's interesting how you said sort of the fame and the people you had before, how they transitioned to what you're doing now and the work you're doing now. And let me say, the work you're doing now is phenomenal. You're able to group, like, not just regular people, just teens, just people like our age, and we know in this generation how it is, and you're able to lead us and just founded this foundation, and it's incredible.
I think one of the most like inspiring thing I just heard is just pushing through the critics and like, oh my gosh, right now I just felt like I could do anything.
I felt inspired by this.
I love that. Oh my gosh. No, I remember listening to one of your, like your speech in Mr. Stewart's class was like so good. I got goosebumps. Like the way she like said those words about like, are you like, I think it was something about, are you okay? And I was like, wow, I'm not okay. I really enjoy that.
Their talent, man. I can't remember in the morning freshman year when she's going over her poems, her lines, and it was just practice. It wasn't even the real thing. I'm like, did she just practice? And you're going this hard? And I'm like, okay. Oh, whoa. It set the bar for me. I'm like, if you're doing this, then what am I doing? You know, what can I accomplish? You know? Oh, and it's crazy how I'm saying this, but your rapping career, it's been admirable, man. Like, seriously, as a young teen, you've accomplished so much as a person, as a teen, as a young woman, too. We got to add that, too. And including me and Zian, we truly find passion and it motivates us, you know, to go out there and find something to do to make our voice be heard, you know. And I do know as previous classmates, the education to you is important. And the amount of conversation at Max Academy, talk about losing my voice a little bit, but at Max Academy, doing that transitioning from the middle school to high school, and I can see the progress, the music versus the first and last song you was talking about. The passion was there. When you heard the song, you felt it. Not only the words, but like you felt the energy. You felt like, wow, okay, come on, you felt it. You know, that being said, I truly believe that we are juniors now. It's crazy how we're juniors. I can't remember starting freshman year, walking through the double doors. Now we're juniors. And it seems like yesterday, like we were studying for human geotest. Like, I can't remember calling, going at us, saying, you know, we got to do this. You know how you, do this. I can't remember all of this. And we're still here for this test. Now, I like to ask, now that you are a junior, a few questions, you know. Zian, what did you ask the first one?
Oh, well, starting high school at Mass, what was the experience like and now being a junior? Do you regret going to Mass? And I just want to quickly add something. Did you guys know how to swim in the beginning of Mass?
No.
Before we answer the Miss A.
No.
Oh, no.
Me grabbing the wall.
Man, I am going to say that. Now, Mass is a little weird for me because I am going to say this, that before my eighth grade year, I didn't even know what a Mass Academy was. But I had a, you know, when I was thinking about high schools, you know, you think of the normals around you, especially growing up in North Miami. Okay, North Miami Senior, Miami, talk about Western, Northern. A school next across the street from me is Aquarium? Unheard of. When I was on Key Biscayne, I went there for the Aquarium. You know what I'm saying? So I am going to say that when I ended up at Mass Academy, a part of the thing, and you guys know me, you knew my attitude.
Yes.
Every day I asked myself, why am I here? And I always believe that, you know, I'm a firm believer that nothing in life is a mistake. You know, that if God aligns certain details in your life, it's because God wants to do something for you or through you, right? So I used to, you know, first things first, you guys understand me with the commute. Like, come on. Like, Richie roughed it out with me, having to wake up at nearly 4:30, 5 o'clock in the morning.
Oh, my goodness.
I remember
bus
those days.
At 5:30. Then when you get on the bus, you're catching a bus to the train station. To go to Vizcaya, then catch another bus to get to school. For somebody who lived 5 minutes from the school I used to go to in elementary, that was one tedious. So I am going to say, if I could be real honest, I was aggravated. and not only that, at Mass Academy, they're very vigorous. They give you a lot of work. So imagine a lot of work, a lot of travel, little sleep. a much aggravation. Like, it was built up.
And it's starting to build up.
Yeah, you know, I am going to say that I was very complacent, you know, for my first couple months at Mass Academy. A part of me was like, I don't want to be here. I wish I went to a normal high school. Not because, you know, it just wasn't what I was used to. And, you know, people always say like this, growth is uncomfortable. You know what I'm saying? Growth is uncomfortable. But I will say that, you know, as you, and stuff like swimming. Oh, yes, you added that in. You guys know, I know I might look a little different.
We do. I
am 4 feet 11.
Right? And the pool is like from.
I'm real short. And Mass has like a 13 feet pool.
Yeah, from 5 feet.
I still remember 13. The first day, Mr. Ross is like, get in. I said, where? What? I was looking for 3 feet, 4 feet, 5 feet that I'm used to. I was like, what?
Where?
But I am going to say this, though, that my complacency turned into appreciation. I know this is going to sound real, like weird for me to say. You guys could quote me on it. It's okay. Okay. Even though at first I didn't really enjoy the Mass Academy experience, I feel like I fell in love with it. And that's a little lame to say, but when you think about it, there's some experiences I got to get that I would not have gotten unless I went to Mass Academy. I got to kayak. Like, let's talk about it. That, you know, we got an opportunity to actually kayak all the way to that little island behind Pelican. We got an opportunity. What that people don't get, you know what I'm saying? And I think that's kind of cool. True. Like, you know, at first I was like, why do we have to do this? This is so stupid. But I'm a fan of it now. And I also believe at Mass Academy, I had a lot of great teachers. Like I really love the teachers that I had. And I feel like, not to say that, you know, no shade at all, because there's a whole lot of learning going on at every high school at Miami-Dade County. Mm-hmm. But I feel like being challenged at Mass Academy
was
definitely what I needed to take my mindset into another atmosphere. I felt like if I went to a high school that didn't really place vigorous work on me, I would have limited my academic ability. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But Mass Academy, again, you know, we spoke about Rap Career Academy as a unlock some hidden intellect, but somewhere behind my brain. And even so much, Mass Academy is contributing to what I do right now. Because I promise you, every time I preach, I feel like I'm writing a rhetorical analysis essay of the Bible. You know?
Here's the story.
Yeah, so I love it. I mean, it's almost overwhelming to say we're juniors.
Oh,
like,
my
I
looked
at my mom and I was like, Mom, you know, 2 more years, I'm gone. I looked at
her. Peace out.
Peace out.
Yeah. But I am going to say, you know, I'm happy that time flies. And I just thank God for bringing us this far. So, yeah.
Definitely. I think one of the best Mass experiences is just Vizcaya buses once again. The after school Vizcaya buses, those were absolute nightmares. But that was the best experience at Mass, because like, even though I hated and loved that aspect of Mass, I was able to, like, I guess, spend time with people and just talk to everyone in the Vizcaya bus. And then, you know, after school you would be like, hey, do you want to go to Sunset? And hey, do you want to go to Brickell? And it's just like, it's fun, you know, it's like you have this freedom there. But definitely, like, I agree, it had a lot, like, of rigor in Mass, and freshman year, it's, like, kind of, wow, everything is, like, whoa, it seems like a lot, but at the same time, I guess it was for the best, if that makes sense.
Exactly, yes.
I think I'm going to add one more thing. I don't know about you guys, but in the morning, I think we'll get there around 7. As we cross the bridge, as the sun comes up.
Oh, yes.
Oh, my God. That's the best feeling. The view was just perfect. It was like you're in a movie and the car is just moving and the sun just hits you. Perfect. The view, the ocean, the bridge. I think that was one part of Mass that I really loved and missed too. And doing the transition, you know, from A grade to high school, it was a whole different thing for me. I can remember my A grade year. I wouldn't say I was at the top of my class, but I was there. And transitioning to Mass, it felt like the opposite now. I was at the bottom of the bottom of the school. And I had to learn, you know, how to work myself up there, the classes, the teachers, their passion is different because they just don't teach. They have that passion. They want to make sure you got this on a different level. So that, I really appreciate that about Mass.
Definitely. Like, my old school was very small, and I think I wouldn't be the same person. Like, I wouldn't have the drive to, like, I don't know, found this organization. But, like, I feel like Mass has shaped me to, like, become, I guess, not only a better student, but a better person in my community, if that makes sense. Because, like, Mr. Stewart really, like, helped me think about the world in a different way and to actually critically think about the things that are happening around me and to not just, like, buy into, like, you know, what other people say. And, like, you know, Mr. McFarlane managed to, I don't know, like, instill, like, this love for history and just understanding the world and just how people work. And... this is just becoming a Mass, like, I love Mass podcast.
Now, you said something very interesting. Now you lead a group of teens and you for Christ 305 plus. How does the leadership feel knowing that, you know, what comes with being a leader, especially a young woman?
I am going to say this, that, you know, first things first, I hope you guys know this is not something that I think I wanted to do. You get me?
I remember.
I tell them all the time, if I could be real, well, let's start with the founding of Youth for Christ 305. Mm-hmm. I did not expect Youth for Christ 305 to be like a group with nearly 200 members. I expected Youth for Christ to be like a couple of my friends on Instagram just sending Bible verses to each other. You know, back in January, I made a decision that I wanted to take my relationship with God seriously, seriously, like not just slack off, because I'm not going to lie. I was one of these things the Bible calls a lukewarm Christian. You know, Monday through Saturday, not so much. So, yeah, I was like, you know, if I want to take this thing seriously, I got to surround myself with people who will push me. You know, just some advice. If you want to do something, you got to surround yourself with people who support that vision. If you surround yourself with people who handicap that vision, Nipsey Hussle said it best, you're not in a circle, you're in a cage. I had to get myself out of a cage. So, you know, I just made a group chat on Instagram with a bunch of friends, and I didn't even expect to be leading anything. I just expected, you know, I send you some Bible verses, you send me some Bible verses, we just vibing and hanging out together, thing like that. But I am going to say that when God puts a person into a position, he doesn't ask their permission first. God didn't ask me what I was doing. You know, God didn't ask Abraham, what you doing? God just told Abraham, get up and go to the land of Canaan. I'm going to show you where you're going. And I would say that from the leadership position, this was my first time really leading something long-term. Because, you know, I never ran for student government. You know, if I led something, I led like a 5-minute performance or something. Or I led like a project or something. But I never really had that initiative to run a group of people. So I think one of the things I learned really is to have a greater appreciation for the people who rule over us. You know, like the people like who have positions in government, the people who have positions in churches. Even I have a newfound respect for my teachers because I realized that leadership is a hefty task.
It is.
That literally, especially what we're talking about, when we're talking about spirituality, that what you say has the ability to dictate somebody's next move. That if you tell somebody to do something and they do it, it's on you. So you not have to have this mindset of like, okay, I can't tell them something for me. I got to ensure if I'm telling them stuff, it's really from the Bible, it's really from God, etc. But I am going to say leadership has also, you know, unlocking hidden talent, pushed out some certain qualities in me. Like, Richie would tell you, I'm not a patient person at all. You know, it's not that I don't want to wait on people, but it's just like, you know, I always been a solo moving person. So I'm like, I'm moving this fast, you have to move with me. And God's like, no. You got to slow down. You got to take your time. I have to learn how to listen. You know, my mom gets frustrated with me. My mom says she's talking to me, and she said, I'm too busy texting to listen. But people are bringing issues. You have to take time to stop and hear how they feel. So, you know, you could, when you lead, leadership is not just about you. If it was just about you, you wouldn't need the group of people. If you're leading a group, you have to do things in the group. But hear feedback from the group. So it taught me how to be patient. It taught me how to listen. And more so importantly, it taught me how to not put God in a box. And I'm gonna say this, never think that your life is just a normal life. Never think that you're just a normal person. I really believe, you know, the Bible puts it like this, that eyes have not seen, ears have not heard, neither has it entered into the hearts of man what God has prepared for his children. I've literally watched from January up until now, September, God bring a bunch of teenagers, some of them who I didn't even know, some of them who I've never met, and their lives have completely changed. I've watched teenagers break off addictions. Like I've watched some of my own friends who I thought would never change, who I thought would curse for the rest of their lives. I'm talking about complete transformation by the grace of God. You know, they say in Ephesians 3 that God is able to do exceeding abundantly all that we can ask or even imagine. So when it talks about, you know, seeing the impossible, if you told me this was possible, I would have said, you a liar. No. I would have said, it ain't no way. I would have said, it ain't no way you gonna see me. Like, bro, reading my Bible all day long just to share with other people. No, I would have been like, I'm writing some raps or something. But just because I'm imagining it, that didn't mean that God wasn't still able to do it. So I'm loving leading this group, and I hope they don't ever get rid of me, because now they're stuck with me forever.
Wow, that was very inspiring.
Me writing down notes.
No, I didn't think. I had to
get writing down right? notes.
I had to write some things down. One of the things
we're taking
said,
notes.
One of the things you quoted from Nipsey was, "You're not in a circle, but a cage," and it hit me, and it made me realize that it's true. You know, if you don't surround yourself with the right people, with a positive environment, you're never going to be able to take that step forward, but take step back. And we know how hard it is to take a step forward, to do something positive, especially to change something about your life. And the people that you surround yourself don't see it. They don't see that vision you have. And that's one of the worst thing is when you have a vision, the people who are the closest to you, they're usually the one who brings you back. It tells you, like, no, this is not going to work.
You know how that happens? Because I've learned, especially, you know, I just spoke about transformation in Youth for Christ Beautified. The reasons why the people around you doubt you is because they think they know you. They feel like, I've been around Zian long enough to know what she'll do. I've been along Richie long enough to know what he'll do. And the best example of it is Gideon in the book of Judges. You know, Gideon was a man who used to sit under a tree and hide wine, work with the wine press or something like that. He wasn't a fighter. He wasn't a soldier. And God told him, I'm going to use you to lead the Israelite children into war from the Midianites. And Gideon went around asking for help. And they was like, who are you? Who are you? Because, you know, we have this preconceived mentality. Like, I know you for this type of person. So when you have this resolve to be different from what they think they know you as, they're not going to support it. It's like Jesus of Nazareth. Can any good thing come out of Nazareth? Aren't you Joseph's son? You're not the son of God. So what you have to understand is that a lot of people will not push you into the new you because they're too hinged on the old you. And here's the thing. You know, I told them this earlier, that if the old you die, you got to let the people who are stuck to the old you die too.
Oh my goodness. Wow. Like, I can't right now. I'm thinking about my entire life right now.
Wow. I'm lost for words. It's like everything is just coming together, you know.
It just clicks.
I'm feeling inspired. Yeah. I'm feeling motivated. I'm like, you know... Wow, your life, I mean, just what you were just saying, when you have positive people around you, for us right now, you're that positive energy, you're that positive vibe. You know, when you say something, it's not, when we hear you, it's like, wow, we got to quiet and just take it in. It's not just any regular freaking sheet. It's AK.
It's AK.
Wow.
Stop it. Stop.
No, you gotta give credit where yeah. it's not pride or, you know, bragging. It's just, you know, seeing yourself, what you've become, what you mean for people. And I know when I call you, I'm always gonna say this. This is me bragging, but anytime I talk to you, it's like our conversation is always, it's always interesting. You always got something to tell me. You always got something to like help me improve myself. Either it's mentally or physically, it's more like me telling you, but spiritually too. And it's amazing what God has done and the transformation, who you are today, what you stand for. It's a blessing.
Oh my goodness. Honestly, I don't regret going to Mass because I wouldn't be able to meet someone as like wonderful as you, because I honestly think like just by just you standing next to me, I'm like, yes, short people power, but at the same time, like, your energy is just so good, and it's just so positive that personally, like, the things that you've said about, like, oh, you gotta let your old you die and the people that bring you down, like, it really clicks to me because, you know, I've had, like, mistakes in the past. I've, you know, experienced a lot of, like, I guess, bad things in the past. And just by hearing you say that, it feels like something again, like once again clicked within me. And wow, this is such a great episode.
Let me add one more thing. I had to pull up something Obama recently said, and it's interesting what you said also, AK, and he said change will not come if we wait for some other person or for some other time. We are the one we've been waiting for. We are the change that we seek. Mm-hmm. And it just, like, when you said it, I was like, wow, it makes sense. It connects. And you are the person that, you know, that's going to bring that change. You are that person who's going to rise and tell the people around you, nah, got the wrong person. This is what you used to know. This is the old me. Now it's the new me. And it's interesting how you said you had to learn how to lead, patience, and what your life, the meaning of it now. So it's incredible.
You shouldn't let anybody else define who you are.
Oh, come on, Z, come on.
You know, you gotta write your own history. You gotta write your own story. And you know, that's what AK is doing. She's quite literally writing her own story and history. And it's just, wow.
You know,
it's interesting.
I can't even, like, I know this is going to sound, like, crazy, but I honestly don't even feel like the writer of my story.
Mm.
I feel like I'm just a character written on the page, because, like I told guys, I didn't see myself doing what I did now. I didn't see myself making my own decisions, and I really believe Hebrews chapter 12 puts it, that he's the author and finisher of our faith. I feel like he wrote my life, and I had, you know, not that I didn't have a choice. Obviously, I had a choice, but it's like I'm just a part of the ride. I'm in the backseat. You know what I'm saying? So mm-hmm. I give God thanks, you know?
You guys see the humble right now. I don't know if you guys
see. Yeah.
It's like every time we try to hype her up, yeah. It's like, no, gotta be humble about this. And that's interesting, too, because versus freshman year, and I'm always gonna tell you this, versus freshman year and now, that person you are today, you are so humble, and it's not that you don't have success. You around my friends, you probably is the most successful team like I've met, and you're so humble about it, and you're still ready to help people, like to help them. I know you always tell me this, you always tell me that I see potential in you. When are you gonna bring it out? When is it going to stop?
Don't worry. If you want to preach at our Bible study this Saturday, we have a slot for you. So you can
hey, I'm all in.
Do it, Richie.
But and, I'm going to say
it's crazy.
You're speaking about the humility, right? And I believe, even if you're religious or not, you know, if mm-hmm. you believe in God or not, I think humility is a matter of importance.
Mm.
You know, that word humility, that word humble in the Greek means tapenos. Tapenos. Mm-hmm. I know that's a weird word. Yeah, it's like, I don't even want to spell it. It's weird. But that word translates into three things. Like when the Bible talks about being humble, look at the pen. When the Bible talks about being humble, it doesn't just mean humble. It means reverent. Of humble than unpretentious. So when it comes down to it, let's start with that word reverent first. That word reverent is a deep respect for someone. You know when the Bible talks about, you know, fear God is not fear, it's reverence. And that's one reason why when anybody hypes me up, I cannot take credit. Because to be honest with you, I know who I am. You know, I know that, you know, Richie could tell you I'm one of the most flawed friends that he has. No, you know the real me. You know, a lot of people think that my life used to be all of this, but I still remember I fought my own demons. I battled with my own things, you know. I used to, if I could be a little transparent, I used to struggle a lot, you know, with my emotions. And that's why I take pride so easily, because, you know, it's easy to get jealous of people. It's easy to feel like you're the best when you're not really, you know, it's easy. And then you get this, you get all of that. I knew that if it was up to me, I wouldn't be where I'm at, because my emotions would hold me back. Now, I used to be emotional wreck. I don't even want to talk about the stuff like addiction and all that type of stuff I used to deal with. You know, being angry for no reason, being depressed for no reason. I knew all that stuff was just a collective of my issues. And if it was up to me, I would have stayed that way. And that's why that word in the Bible, tapenos, humble, starts with reverence. Because you have to respect God enough to understand that if it wasn't for him, there would be no. You know what I'm saying? So that's when it starts with respecting him for where I'm at. Then it leads me to the humbleness. What does that word humble mean? It's a low measure of one's own importance. It's what I think about myself. And the reason why I don't think of myself as that important is because I have the respect for the person who is important. And what... I'm not that important, that's when you become unpretentious. And this is what we define as prideful around here, this area. That word unpretentious means not being flashy towards other people. If I gotta be real, look at the people who you know in your life that's prideful. If they are prideful in front of you, it's because there's some insecurity within themselves that makes them feel like they have to. We could be real, you know, I don't know how to put it to you. For Christ 305, well, not even that. Reading my Bible has made me look at people through a different lens. Because one of the topics that we spoke about this week, this past Thursday, was, you know, hold thy peace, aka, you know, speak now, forever hold your peace, be quiet. How many of you know some people who talk way too much?
A lot. Exactly. A lot.
And, you know, even so much, one of the trends that's been going on in Miami-Dade County is a bunch of students have been hacking Zooms. You know, calling them ugly and stuff, calling them all type of profane words. And the Bible says it's out of the heart the abundance of the mouth speaks. That your words don't come from your mouth, but there's something deeper within. And I began to think about it. I was like, wait a second. If I'm acting prideful, if I feel the need to show people I'm more than I'm not, something in my heart makes me feel like I have to do that because I don't feel good enough within myself. Mm-hmm. If I take time to talk bad about somebody, somewhere in my heart, I feel like they're better than me. And that's why it's all about dealing with what's going on in the heart. That's why when it comes to being humble, I had to really, like, you know, let God perform surgery on me. That's what the Bible says. Hebrews 4:12. The word of God is sharper than a two-edged sword. The discerner of the thoughts of the heart.
Oh, my God. That word
quick in my heart. And take away all that pride, all that stuff in me that shouldn't have been there. And now, you know, the Bible says it like this, who the Son sets free is free indeed. That I now have this feeling that if you guys were to never tell me who I was, it wouldn't bother me because I grew this God confidence within myself. And if we could get there, like that's what I'm saying. The world would be a better place if people worked on fixing themselves.
Yes, change starts here.
Say it again.
We try to say, oh, come together. No. Two puzzle pieces that don't match can't come together.
Oh my goodness.
You have to take
I'm getting hype here.
you have to take the time to shape yourself into the person you should be. Then we could fit together and make the bigger picture.
Man. Oh, I don't. Wow. It's unfortunate that we're getting very close to end this episode, and wow, it's, I'm lost for words. It's like, it reminds me again, Richie, what are you doing right now? You know, what's your purpose right now? What's your reasons right now? And, you know, we have a few more important questions we have to ask you. You know, for your rapping career, academics, the organization, the Youth for Christ you created. You know, I'm sure that, you know, must have something to say that to your younger self, you know, versus now you're a junior, 5, 10 years ago, you know, what would you have said to that young AK growing up if you had the chance, you know, to give her some tips, to write a few notes, and
the Floriana capsule.
Hey, I know, remember that. What would you say to that younger self?
Oh, man, I am going to say that I am thrilled with this question. Because I think one of the privileges I have of recording music and performing is I have videos of myself in sixth grade rapping. And you know, this is gonna sound crazy, but I literally watch videos of myself rapping and I talk to it. Now, rap career-wise, I would look at my younger self and say, keep going, it's all gonna be worth it. And you know, so much times when I was doing the rap career, I would think, is this even gonna take me anywhere? Like, you know, I used to ask, is this even gonna be worth it? But it goes to show you that, you know, if you press, it is. So that's one thing I would tell my younger self. Another thing I would tell my younger self, this is kind of weird, because you know how we have this mentality that if you alter the past, it might change up your future, et cetera. But I would really tell my younger self, start seeking God sooner. Because, you know, I feel like I missed out on years of goodness because I waited so long to start. So that would be another thing I would tell my younger self. And a third thing I would tell my young self is, and I know this is going to sound crazy, someone who built their rap career based on people telling me I couldn't do something, but I would tell my younger self, don't do it for them, do it for you. And the reason why I'm saying that is because, as you guys know, I'm at a position in my life where I don't have to argue my talent anymore. You know what I'm saying? You know, I've, even some of the people who doubted me, I've had some of them reach out to me and, you know, give me my props. And I feel like, I felt like all this effort I did should not have been for other people. Because if we could be real, guys, if I were to live my whole life, if we were to live our whole life trying to please men, we would not please everybody. Paul said in the book of Galatians, for do I persuade men? Do I please men or do I seek to please God? You got to think about it like this. Men is 7 billion people. God is one person. I think it's easier to please God. You know what I'm saying? And we'll get ourselves so attached to trying to make everybody happy. And the reality is there is not one thing in this world that everybody has yet to agree on. Name it. Name one thing for me that every gender, every race, every sexual orientation has agreed on. We can't even agree on time. We have different time zones. You know what I'm saying? So I say this to say, I would tell my younger self, if you want to do anything, don't do it for others. Do it for you. Because your happiness should be the only thing that matters to you.
I don't know about you, Z, but it felt like I was listening to E.T., Les Brown, Denzel Washington right now. And it's crazy how I named those people, because I remember either freshman or sophomore year, me and Aisha was talking. She was like, you know what? I want to be remembered. Not just remembered. I want to be in the books, you know, in the most humble way. And she's like, I want my work, you know, to be known for something, to represent something, my legacy, because we all know that our days are numbered. And 2020 made that clear for everyone.
Yes.
Like, the deaths, and it just hit me. I'm like, I never know when it's my time. And it's crazy how we don't even have to die in a natural way. Anything is sort of, we're so fragile that we can just go out any type of way. And it makes me realize, you know, when I do leave this earth, what do I leave behind? You know, who am I? what is my legacy? What will people remember me by? And AK just made it clear how, in the most humble way, her work, her dedication, her drive, it's just admirable. There's no word for it.
Yeah. I currently have no words because I'm just like taking this in, and I just feel enlightened by a lot of things that she's saying, and wow. I'm speechless. I'm really speechless.
Mr. Demazir, Richie, I have to say this though. This is going to be a real crazy statement, but my mentality has changed. You know how I ask myself?
We know that.
I ask myself, what do I leave behind, rather? You know, what am I leaving behind? My mentality has changed to, who am I leaving?
Oh my, say it one more time.
Yes.
Gotta hit that repeat.
Has changed from what am I leaving behind to who am I leaving behind. Because especially coming from a leadership perspective, leaders lead. And if I'm and if you're making a decision to be in the front of a line, if you're leading someone at the front of a line, you should have a goal that wherever you're going, you want them to go with you. Jesus said it best in John 14. I go. Why is he leaving? To prepare a place for you. That where I am, you may be also. And I say that to say that for me, especially what I do for you, for Christ 305, this earth is valuable but meaningless. You know, and Richie, you feel me? Like, I'm not even attached to this globe anymore. I'm more focused, you know, set my mind on things above. So I'm not really concerned with what I'm leaving behind. I'm concerned with who's going to get left behind, and I need them to join the ride with me, you know? I said in one of my raps called By the Book, I said, just like Noah, I'm going to ask, who's going to ride along with me? Big business always got room for more company.
I know you said you retire, you know, you're not rapping no more. But come on, you gotta come back. You gotta drop some bars for us. Come on, man. At the end of the segment, I want you to do, I know this is gonna be quick, a good 1 to 2 minutes of just you, just spinning, you know what I'm saying? I think that'll be fun.
The rapid fire question segment.
Ooh. Now, AK, I got some rapid-fire questions. They're about 10, just quick 10. Just answer them as fast as you can. First one, what is your favorite movie?
God's Not Dead.
Favorite actor?
I'll salute Chadwick Boseman on that one.
RIP. That hit me. Best music you wrote?
Oh, man. I can't pick
one. I know, right?
That's such a hard question.
No, can't do it. No.
You can't do it? No. All right, not the best, but the one when you finished, when you wrote that piece, you felt like, yeah, I wrote that. Or was it all of them?
That's all of them. I can't. I just go with the intro to Thank God I'm Not.
Okay, all right. What is your favorite artist of all time?
AK.
For some reason, I knew you was going to say that. AK.
If I got to pick a secular one, I am.
Wow, second one.
Second
one. A secular one, if I one that I used to is Chance the Rapper.
Chance the Rapper.
Oh, one right now? Oh, see, y'all got me started. I'm sorry. I know this is rapid fire. But if I name one right now, Bizzle.
Okay. All right. Favorite color, gray or yellow?
Favorite color, gray or yellow?
Oh, yeah.
Why do I only get two choices?
No, because I did that on purpose.
Gray.
Okay. All right, Jordan 1s or the 4s?
One.
Okay. Oh, this one's going to hit you. Would you like being tall or short?
Oh, Richie.
I had to.
If the shoe fits, where I'll keep my short height. I'm cool.
Okay. What car? Range Rover or a BM?
You know, anything that could get me from point A to point B, it don't matter.
Really? Come on, no, that's not an answer. Come on now.
Football, what of my friend's football coaches put it best. The best form of transportation is Chevrolet.
All right, what is your favorite number?
7.
I thought it was going to, okay. Last one, favorite quote of all time.
Favorite quote of all time?
Yes, ma'am.
John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life.
Wow. That is it for me.
Oh my goodness. I feel like we could just quote AK in our, well, future AP Lang essay takers here. Please quote Aisha Kirkland for your future essays. Yeah. They could just use this podcast episode as one of their evidence in their essays.
Wow.
But thank you, Aisha, for being our first ever interviewee at Gen Z Plugged. We truly believe that you are actually like a great young figure in our community and, you know, maybe even beyond. Actually, beyond. You'll become like either a writer, a rapper, or whatever your heart desires. But you've definitely impacted like so many people, including me and Richie. And your story, career, and leadership are also inspirational. And wow.
I just want to say, you know, thank you guys for having me. It is truly a privilege. You know, I am going to say this. You guys said you've never really done an interview before, but I think this is one of the best interviews I've had. I don't know if
it's...
Stop it.
Stop it. So everyone, please make sure to follow AK and YouthForChrist305. Aisha, what are your handles so that our listeners can support you? You guys must support her.
All right. If you wanna follow me, I'm on Instagram and Twitter at Kirkland at Work. Kirkland ATWORK. And definitely I am recommending to every teenager to check out YouthForChrist305 on Instagram at Youth, FOR4, spelled out, Christ 305. We're on Facebook at YouthForChrist305+. And then we're on Twitter at YFC305. And if you're interested, join us at one of our prayer meetings. I have a podcast every Thursday live on my Instagram and live on that Facebook page that you don't want to miss because it is truly a blessing.
So you guys have literally no excuse.
No excuse
at all. You have the handles. You can connect Thursdays, the IG, the Twitter, even the Facebook from my, you know, out there. And so go ahead, go at it, go crazy with it. You know, it's 2020, like I said, make something. And your favorite quote of all time, I think I like, is like, who, it's not what am I leaving behind, it's who I'm leaving behind. I'm for sure going to write this somewhere on my room. I want to read this. You know, I want to get that drive. I want to get that passion. So thank you so much for coming and blessings on blessings.
Thank you guys for listening and thank you for coming, Aisha. So I'll see you all for the next episode of Gen Z Plugged. I'm your co-host, Sian. And remember, stay connected, guys. Bye.
Heavenly Father, I just thank you for this day that you have made. And I thank you for this opportunity to be able to come and connect with Generation Connected and the Gen Z podcast. Heavenly Father, I pray and ask that this work which has started, that you complete the work which you started throughout this organization. oh, Almighty God, I believe that you bringing up this organization is not by coincidence, but you are using this organization as a vessel to reach your people and be a blessing through their lives. So I pray and ask, as Gian founded this group, that you continue to give her the wisdom and understanding to be the leader that she is, and continue to use her to reach people all over the world, to share education, to share information, and to keep people informed throughout our generation. I pray and ask, expand the reach of this podcast in the name of Jesus, and continue to use it to do a great thing. And I pray next that you continue to have your way in Zian's life and Richie's life, even as they're starting school and Zian shared how SAS is a struggle. I pray and ask, Almighty God, that you help her every step of the way. Help Richie at Mass every step of the way. I pray and ask, Almighty God, you said that we are our cares because you care for us. So I pray and ask, in an overwhelming education, letting them know that they're not alone, but you're ready, you're right there to take the burden. And I pray and ask, Almighty God, that you help them to stay connected to the formula for success. You said in Matthew 6:33 that if we seek you first, everything else should be added. So we don't have to worry about our grades. We don't have to stress about the exams. We don't have to care about any of those things, because you said once we seek you first, you'll figure out everything else. So I thank you, and I say continue to have your way. Holy Spirit, take control through this organization, through this podcast, and through Richie and Zian's life. I give you the glory for everything that you have done. In Jesus' name, amen, amen, amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.